Well, Niall, you're well into your project of amassing all the records of Kerry Championship footballers. Tell our listeners exactly what you're doing and how it all came about.
Well, we tried to put together a list of scorers over the years and what their career numbers are, as well as their appearances, because there's no single source of, we'll call it statistics, for Kerry players. The first question that came to mind is, you know, I live out in California when Barry Bonds was assaulting the home run record of Hank Aaron. The question every Kerry man should have been asking said, well, who's the top Kerry scorer? Was it Maurice Fitzgerald? Did he score more than Mikey Sheehy? Or how far along is the Gooch to attain the number one spot?
Now, we're talking about championship, not league and championship. Is it, we're going to differentiate this?
Yeah, we'll go with championship only because that's the one that counts, isn't it? There's a lot of fellas that have trying to go back in the early years would have played league games and trying to verify names and scorers and clubs, and the level of reporting mightn't have been as good as what you have today with Radio Kerry and all the national papers focused on our county games. So it's easier to go back just to limit it to championship, and like I said, the championship is the one that counts at the end of the year.
So when did you begin this?
I began this about 3 years ago. With an initial question to myself and looked up the resources that were available between the internet and libraries and books that were published, and there was no clear account of an accurate account going back. I found errors between some of the information that I got from various places, that there's a misspelling of a name or a club that was incorrect. So to get all that together and be able to cross-check it properly across the national papers and the local papers and the internet pages and existing data from libraries and books and stuff, it just got bigger and bigger. It was a simple enough question at the start. Who was the top scorer? Well, then who was the top player in appearances? Because it's hard to leave the backs out of it as well. And, of course, the goalkeepers, I'd be fond of them too. Who was the top goalkeeper and goals against and all this sort of stuff? So it took on a life of itself. And then the decision then was made to preserve it for the readers of the future and to present a statistical review of Kerry footballers is basically what we're putting together. And then we also decided to add in at the end a little blurb, some bullet points on what was going on in the country at the time. So you'll have the list of the general election data and presidential elections and the highlights of the year. There might be only five or six in some years, and there might be a lot of them in other years. But you'll be able to see what Eamon de Valera was up to in specific years and what Charlie Haughey was up to, allegedly, of course. And it'd be a good reference point for the casual reader. It won't be a real reference book for history makers, but it'll be here's what was going on in the context of Kerry football in any particular year.
Well, Niall, I must say now that I've been very interested in that type of stuff myself. I must say with all the books that you have spread out before you and all the printed stuff you have put together, it's absolutely fascinating. It's going to be something that's going to be cherished, I tell you, by every Kerry football person. Now, what is going to include is exactly the teams that played in every championship match, correct me now if I go wrong,
yes,
the scorers in every single championship game, the top scorers for Kerry in all championships, and who was the top scorer of all time, and it's going to include all that data.
As well as venues, as well as a decade summary. I mean, you go back and look at what did we do in the 50s, for example, that, a total of games played in the decade, how many Munster titles in that decade, how many All-Irelands, how many National Leagues. And what's very important as well is how many under-21 and how many minor titles in a particular decade. And you can see the names and the minors, the winning teams will be listed out, and you'll see those names. You win an All-Ireland medal, you'll be getting your chance at senior the following year, 2 years, 3 years later, and you'll be coming on as a sub, and you'll be able to watch the progression of the players through their careers, high scorer, and you know when the fella moves from full forward to corner forward, there's only one more move after that, and that'll be getting a warm tracksuit. But you can see the substitutions, and you can see the tactical things as well. You can see the substitutions that Paddy Shea made versus Jack O'Connor versus Pat O'Shea, and it's not that there's any biases, but you can see that the preferences, what they like to spring from the bench at around the hour mark or whatever, that a small insight, if you study it, and you don't need to study it, it can be very much for the casual reader as well, to try and get inside these guys' heads. What was the game plan here? And so-and-so was taken off. I mean, we've an instance, the great Dan O'Keefe in goals. Con Broston gets injured in one game. He comes off, and Dan O'Keefe goes to midfield, and young Brendan Reedy, who was playing minor the same year in Limerick, comes on in goals. And he was, I believe, he was under 16 at the time, because that's the first year.
What year was that?
I think that was 1931, we should.
Right, yeah, just a matter of interest.
Yeah, it was up in Limerick.
In actual fact, it's a fascinating statistic. I've never heard this before. Yeah. That Dan O'Keefe was brought out a goal. I thought Eamon O'Donoghue, the late Eamon O'Donoghue, was the only goalkeeper that was brought out. Anyway, just explain that to us. 1930?
In 1932, against Limerick at Newcastle West, Kerry were playing Limerick in the first round of the Munster Championship, and... Con Broston was injured, and Dan O'Keefe was brought out midfield, and Brendan Reedy, who played with the minors in the curtain raiser, and that was his second year with the minors. He was goalkeeper, his three All-Ireland medals, 31, 32 and 33.
Yeah.
And that was one of his only... It was his first appearance, and he only had one other, being caught in an unfortunate time of the greatness of Dan O'Keefe. Dan O'Keefe was not able to make one other game, and that was the only other start he got. So he.
Nuggets did you uncover? Of course, there's thousands of mice, about literally, is there?
There are thousands, Weishi. Yeah. There's observations. That they say the game has changed a lot, even since I was a youngster back in the 70s. One of the interesting things I look at is in the goal scoring department that Ogie Moran, although he played a lot of football, wing back, has not scored a goal for Kerry in the Championship, and Paul Gallivan hasn't either, which means are they similar style and similar function in the forward line? I think they are. Their job was certainly not to score because Sheehy and Bomber and Spillane scored enough between them for the team, but their job was to get that vital link from midfield in. And they say the game is changing in the present team, it whip older teams. I'm not so sure when you look at the styles, the jobs, the Kerry brains on the sideline at work. Is being borne out in the statistics.
Niall, we're talking about thousands of the statistics that you are putting together now. The whole thing will be, of course, what's going to be the situation in regard to publishing it? Because publishing is a costly business. Now, you're in America, we'll talk about that soon. But what's your ambition, and what can Kerry exiles all over the world expect with this?
The decades run together from the 1950 to 59, and this year 2009 will be the end of the first 10 years of the millennium, and that will be a natural stopping point at this stage. So the objective is to have it out for the Christmas market. That here's a review of the players that have been there, especially since 1950. We'll call that the modern era, pre 1950. Newspaper reports weren't as plentiful in the 40s with the war, and so there was no opportunity to cross-check the data in those games. So it's getting a little dodgy there. But hopefully get it out at the end of the decade and see how this decade compares.
How do you plan to finance it? Because this is going to be a big book, I would imagine, but when I look at all the stuff that you have amassed.
We'll go with the self-financing route for now and see how far it goes. And the objective services that are out there for books, there are publishers who will print on demand even as few as one or two copies, so it'll be there forever available as needed through the likes of Amazon.com and things like that, and it'll direct email to the publishers to purchase the books will be available. Hopefully in the bookshops and in the libraries of Kerry at Christmas time.
We can probably expect a lunch on Terrace Talk.
We can probably expect a launch on Terrace Talk. That would be very good.
With a panel of people discussing what you have done.
Panel of people discussing and hopefully confirming that the data is correct. It's difficult to cross-check everything. You can't just believe a story. That's another one of the problems we have, Weishi, is that the amount of knowledge that's going to the graveyards every year is huge. The fellas that are back in the 40s in the 30s that play there, even some of them are still alive. They might be in their 90s. Can you really believe their memory at this stage? Some of them can't tell you if they had breakfast, let alone what they had for breakfast. So it's, you know, the people from my father's time, there was following the Kerry teams in the 40s and 50s, and then the peaks and the valleys as well. There'll be a little comment on each decade in the 50s. It's very fascinating, in my opinion, because there was three great events there. First of all, we had 1955, when the famous Dublin machine was put out of service, which would be the highlight of the decade. And yet 2 years later, defeat to Waterford in Dungarvan. Mm-hmm. And yet 2 years after that, again, All-Ireland champions. Yeah. The rise, the fall, and the rise again.
In actual fact, and before 55, 54 was a disastrous, one of Kerry's worst ever displays in an All-Ireland final against Meath.
Against Meath.
And then you had the 53 before that when they beat Armagh. So as you said, Niall, the 50s was a fascinating, unbelievable decade.
The 50s were fascinating, and there's one small point that the reader will see for himself. Mick O'Dwyer's first display and Kerry senior jersey was that day in Waterford in 1957. And here we are, 52 years later, and he's still involved with senior championship football. And it shows, it gives a birth to these guys, and it follows them all the way through. And that's the stuff that's captured there, and the spirit of the thing is pretty good, I think.
Niall, I must ask you about one particular Kerry footballer. Lately, I did an in-depth interview with a group of people back in Tralee about Jack Falvey, who won an All-Ireland medal in 1946, the late Jack Falvey. He played with Blenheville and with Cairns O'Rahillies, and he won an All-Ireland medal in 46. What have you uncovered about Jack Falvey? Because I'll be doing a special programme on him coming up shortly.
Yeah, my data has Jack Falvey playing in five games in 1946.
Tell us against.
He played against Cork, he played against Clare, he played against Waterford. He did not play against Antrim in the All-Ireland semi-final, and he played in both the drawn game and the replay against Roscommon in 1946. Of course,
what positions did he play in those games, as a matter of interest, Niall? Because I'm testing you now.
Yeah, he played right half forward in every one of those games, five games, and he scored 1 point against Limerick, and that was it.
He was an outstanding footballer, but he disappeared then because he didn't hit the radar again. Then in 1947, you can't find any trace of him. He wasn't in the polygons anyway.
No, he was no appearance in 1947. Whatever happened. That's what will start the debate. Data will... These are the facts, and the stories can be built around it. Then you'll be a great man for that yourself. We should why this fellow was here and why he switched wings and why he was in the other place and why he was dropped. Yeah. These are the things that make up the folklore of Kerry football.
And, of course, all this now is very, very appropriate because this is the 125th anniversary of the Gaelic Athletic Association. Niall, turning to yourself, you played Kerry Minor. Tell us about your own football career, where you're from and where you're now.
Born and raised in just outside Ferenfore, played with Fieries, I suppose started with the seniors, about 15. Things were maybe short to players back in those days. Lucky enough to be considered for the Kerry Minors in 1979, the day that Ambrose scored that great goal from 35 yards above in the park. I was in goal for Kerry that day, and Ger Cunningham of greater hurling fame was the goalkeeper in Cork. For Cork that day, and I was working with Joe up with the Southern Health Board in Cork City at that time.
Yeah.
Early 80s, I think the last recession, we'll call it.
Go back to your own minor days again now, because after the Munster final, things didn't turn out too good for you.
Things didn't turn out too good for me, no. Rathmore had a very competent goalkeeper in Niall Cronin, and the selectors went for him for the semi-final and the final, which is all right.
Yeah.
Tom Prendergast, current county board chairman, Jerome Conway was a selector,
yeah.
Brody Grady, and Eddie Tatler.
Yeah.
And
how did that final go?
Paddy Gallagher from Valencia.
Lord have mercy on Paddy. How did the final go?
The final, Kerry lost to Dublin by a point. Anthony Shannon got our goal from a penalty. Ambrose was midfield. Tom Spillane was playing. Pat Sheehan from Glenbay, hotel owner, entrepreneur extraordinaire around Killarney, was centre-half back. Brian Ladden from Keele was the full-back. Colin Bambury from Dingle. John Shute was the captain that year from Listowel Emmets. And the following year, Tom Dee and Ambrose and Pat Donohue from Town came back, and Richard O'Brien was the goalkeeper in 1980 when Kerry finally moved on to the next level and won the All-Ireland in 1980.
So where did life take you then?
Life took me to California, well, to the United States. I spent a little bit of time in New York, and I spent a little bit of time in Ohio and in New Mexico before settling back into California. We're near the San Francisco area. We're very proud of our facilities out there in Treasure Island. The 07 and 08 All-Stars played at the opening of that field in the beginning of December, and President McAleese visited to open Park na n-Óg for the juveniles. So we have a fabulous setup there on Treasure Island, right in the middle of the bay, with the view of Alcatraz and Golden Gate Bridge. I think that if there is football in heaven, and there surely is, I think that's where the games are going to be played, is on Treasure Island in San Francisco.
Will you come home eventually, Niall, to Fire Eyes? And, of course, you're talking about the late Mort Scott.
The late Mort Scott. Mort was the... he was the only man that I knew that was able to balance his soccer duties and his GAA duties and keeping everybody happy at the same time. That skill, I don't know what it was, but Mort had it.
Wonderful man.
Great supporter of sport in general, and a great conversationalist and a great humorist. Always had a smile.
Niall Flynn, listen to me. You're doing an invaluable amount of work for the GAA in the 125th anniversary of the Gaelic Athletic Association. I can see what you're doing. You have most of it now ready, as the fella said, and we're certainly looking forward to promoting it big for you on Terrace Talk and having a panel in and talking to you if you're at home, and if you're not at home, we'll talk to you on the phone, as the fella said. But listen to me, well done, and you're hoping to have it out for Christmas.
I'm hoping to have it out for Christmas, Weeshie. It's a tribute to the players who wore the green and gold, is what we're putting together. Their records, their careers, their statistics, and to be included, it won't be an index of players. It'll be a register of Kerry footballers, is what we'll have here, and their efforts, and how much we all appreciate what the players have put in, and the selectors and managers and everybody else that's been involved in Kerry football. It's basically a tribute to all the people involved.